Today on The Journey.
At some point, I have to say with my mouth, I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus came and He died on the cross for my sins.
The Christian life is a spiritual hall of wonders with adventures down every corridor. And no one knows that better than those who first lived it. Every day held new experiences based in one compelling motivation, their love for the risen Christ. Today, Ron Moore invites you to join them in that great adventure story. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Ron begins a series called The Great Adventure with the message Changed, Captivated by the Resurrected Christ, On the Journey.
As we begin our study through the book of Acts, I want us to deal with the most basic spiritual question. Here it is. Do you love Jesus? Only you can know that. Depths of your being. Do you love Jesus? Now, I'm not asking today whether you're involved in the Word or worship or you're connected or you're serving or you're sharing. Those are essential expressions. Well, let's back up one step. Do you love Jesus? We're going to begin today a study of the book of Acts. And we're going to see what it looks like to truly be in love with Jesus. And how life is expressed and lived when that is truly the commitment, the emotion, the resolve of our heart. Do you love Jesus? Take your Bibles and open them with me to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And let's just work our way through these first 11 verses this morning. Although his name is never mentioned in the text, church history names Luke as the undisputed author of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We read in verse 1 when he starts, in my former book, and this would no doubt be the Gospel of Luke. So Acts is the second volume of a two-volume set written by Luke, probably written at the same time, probably dispersed early in the church at the same time. But as the New Testament began to be put together, the Gospels were placed together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then Acts came after John. Now let's take a few minutes here to look at our author, because we're going to be seeing how the church started through his eyes, inspired by the Spirit, of course, but through his eyes as we go through this book. From Scripture, we learn four things about Luke. Number one, we learn that he was a doctor. Luke was a doctor. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul writes, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Now, no doubt, being a physician, he was very analytical. He was detailed in his thinking process, and certainly we see that in his writings. Secondly, Luke was an historian. He wanted to get things right. Turn back to the Gospel of Luke, two books back, and look at how Luke begins this first book of this two-volume set. Luke chapter 1. Luke says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things being taught. It seemed good to me to research from the beginning. I wanted to carefully investigate everything. so that you could be certain of the things taught about Jesus. Now, although Luke was not an eyewitness to many things that Jesus did, he conducted interviews of the eyewitnesses, from the eyewitnesses, and he carefully investigated to get the facts right. Most believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was more than likely one of the people Luke spent a lot of time with as he learned about the birth and early days of Jesus. It is in Luke that we learn of Mary going to visit Elizabeth, her cousin. It was in Luke we learn about John the Baptist jumping in the womb of Elizabeth as they see Mary coming. It was in Luke that we hear about Jesus as a young boy at the temple. Think of it. When we read this book of Luke, we are hearing the story more than likely told by Mary herself. So Luke gets the research from all these eyewitnesses until Acts chapter 16. Turn to Acts chapter 16 and look at verse 10. The first 15 chapters of Luke, we hear the reports of what's going on. And then in 16:10, something changes. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And this begins what theologians call the we passages of Acts. Luke became a traveling companion of Paul. And so from Luke chapter 16 on, he becomes an eyewitness of the things that are happening. He is a traveling companion. He's getting first-hand experience. Now, another thing here. We see in Luke and Acts that he is writing to a man named Theophilus. We have no idea who Theophilus was. In the Gospel of Luke, he addresses him as most excellent Theophilus, which have led some to believe he was either a Roman official or he held a high position or he was a man of great wealth. He is given this title, Most Excellent Theophilus. At any rate, he was a man of education and he was a man of influence, and Luke is writing to him so Theophilus will take this message and spread it. But he's going to give him an accurate and orderly account of the origins of the Christian faith. Number three, we see that Luke was a devoted friend of Paul. 2 Timothy 4:10 and 11. Remember in Colossians, Luke the doctor and Demas is with me? But like many Christians today, Demas didn't stick around very long. Look at 2 Timothy 4:4. Demas, because he loved this world, has departed me and has gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. So here in the last days of Paul's life, 2 Timothy, probably the last book Paul wrote, Luke is there as a devoted friend to the end. Now, one more thing about Luke. Luke loved Jesus Christ. Luke was captivated by the resurrected Christ. His research and his writings and his life were all focused on making Christ known. Look again at Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Luke carefully investigated and put the time and energy and effort to write this two-volume set, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, around 60 A.D. to demonstrate the validity of Jesus Christ. Now think about 60 A.D. At that time, the church is less than 30 years old. It had been around long enough to let people know it was just not a flash in the religious pan. But still, there was much debate about this group of people, first called the Way, and later called Christians. F.F. Bruce, in one of his excellent commentaries on Acts, says this, "In the Roman Empire, Christianity started off with a serious handicap. Its founder had admittedly been condemned to death by a Roman governor on the charge of sedition. And the movement which he inaugurated seemed to be attended by tumult and disorder wherever it spread, both in the Roman provinces and in Rome itself. Luke sets himself to reduce this handicap, or rather, remove it altogether. So Luke becomes the first apologist. He becomes the first defender of the faith. He sets his work out to prove the validity of Christ, the miraculous virgin birth, as told to him by Mary herself, all the way to the many proofs of the resurrection. Luke had a passion for people to understand who Jesus was, why Jesus came, and how you could have a personal relationship with the living God through this person, Jesus Christ. And a passion for that. Now Luke begins his book, and here's where we want to focus today, with the last dialogue of Jesus that he had on earth before he ascended into heaven. Look at verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this account. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, Jesus is talking, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus knew some things were going to change. He was not going to be with them any longer. He was going to leave them. So he told them to hang tight and hang together, because even though he would leave them, the Holy Spirit was going to come. Now, it's interesting what happens next. Just as many Christians today, those with Jesus in Acts 1, were thinking about the temporal things, were thinking about the earthly things, even were thinking about the political things. Look at verse 6. Look at their question. When they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? What are these people expecting? They're looking for a physical kingdom of God to be realized in a political way. They want Jesus to set up his kingdom. Many followers are more concerned about the political aspects of what's going on today than the spiritual aspects, aren't they? It's like these people. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the two small fish and five loaves? Remember what happened after that? John chapter 6, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. This is the Messiah. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. Jesus was not there at that time to set up a political kingdom, but a spiritual one. And this group in Acts, they're not going to force Jesus to be king, but they are expecting him to establish a physical kingdom with a political theocracy, with them as the chief executives. But when it came to the restoration of the political kingdom, I want you to notice what Jesus does. He dismisses the question. Look at verse 7. It is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his authority. Don't worry about when the kingdom is going to come. That is not for you to even be concerned about. Here's what I want you to focus on. This is why I'm leaving you. Look at the first part of verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We're going to focus here the rest of our time. Acts 1:8. Here's the promise. Capability through the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about that other stuff. But here's one thing you have to know. Your life is going to be changed. You're going to receive power. You're going to receive strength. You're going to receive enablement when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to possess a courage and a resolve that you have never had before. I am going to be with you and I'm going to be in you through the Spirit. Things are never going to be the same. Look again at Acts 1:8. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then, what am I leaving you to do? You will be my witnesses. Empowered by the Spirit, here is your job. Here is your assignment. To tell others about me. That's why I'm leaving you here. The Greek word for witness is the word martys. From it, we get the word martyr. A witness testifies, tells others about Jesus, even at the cost of their life. The command of Jesus, the last command that He gave before ascending into heaven, tell others about Me. Now I want you to think about that. The most important message of time and eternity is left with us. We are stewards of the good news of Jesus Christ. We are stewards to hoard it. We are stewards to use it wrongly. We can do that. But we are stewards to do it right. To tell others about Jesus. Not banging people over the head with it. Not using it in a judgmental way, but because of our love for Christ, telling others about Jesus. Are you doing that? Because you do it one person at a time. St. Francis of Assisi, you've heard about him in church history, made this statement, share the gospel always, and if need be, use words. Now that's a great quote. And it makes its point. But it's not an either or, is it? It's a both and. I am commanded by Jesus to tell others about Him with my mouth. And my actions shouldn't contradict what I'm saying. I have a friend, and when we first started meeting, he said, you know, Ron, I'm kind of a man of few words, and I've seen people abuse talking about Jesus all the time. I don't do that. I just show people with my life. I mean, he's right in a way. But we began to study with some other guys, and we started challenging each other about sharing the gospel. And after a while, he came to me and he said, remember what I said about just my actions? That was really kind of wimpy, wasn't it? From now on, it's my verbal witness and my behavioral witness. See, action only goes so far. At some point, I have to say with my mouth, I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus came and He died on the cross for my sins. And when I place my trust in Him as the one who took care of my sins, then I can have a relationship with God. Then I can live in heaven forever. How are we going to act out that message? How can your behavior explain the gospel to someone? At some time, you have to open your mouth and be a witness for Jesus Christ. And at some time, you have to have the courage to say, following the command of Christ, you know what? Here's the deal. I love Jesus Christ. Think about it. The message of Jesus is witness dependent. And that's why Jesus said, last command, you have to be my witnesses. Does God bring people to Himself? Yes, He does. Does God do the work? Yeah, He does. But if you're not telling others about Jesus, you are disobeying the last command. Period. The end. Let's look at the scope of this command. 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, how in the world are we going to obey a command with a scope to the ends of the earth? Let's break it down. First, Jerusalem. We don't live in Jerusalem, so Jerusalem for us represents what? Our immediate area that we live in. Our homes, our neighborhoods, friends, family, work, school. How about our Judea and Samaria? Where's our Judea and Samaria? Whether you're sitting in an office or out for dinner with business associates after a meeting, wherever you go, you are a messenger of Jesus Christ. Not only to our Judea and Samaria, But what's the last? Even to the ends of the earth. Now I'll leave you with this question. Why do Christians do these things? Why do Christians take a risk to share the gospel? It's back to that first question, isn't it? They love Him. This gets pretty simple. They love Him. Acts 1:8, we see the Christians' motivation. The early Christians were captivated by Christ. Look at verses 10 and 11. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen Him go into heaven. Captivated by Jesus, looking up into the sky, and angels come down and say, why are you looking? He has some work for you to do. And they continued, as we will see through the book of Acts, to be captivated by Jesus. As the Holy Spirit came and gave them the power, they changed the world. All God is asking us to do is to change our worlds. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, His witnesses, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Does Christ's love compel you? Do you love Jesus Christ?
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a special announcement right after this. Have you ever had an Emmaus Road experience? A moment when the scriptures blazed with new understanding and you knew God had spoken to your soul. And now, looking back, you can exclaim along with the Emmaus disciples, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road? Well, Ron Moore wants you to look forward to such moments in the days ahead. He takes you to that place in his engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. There, in bite-sized meditations, Ron lays a solid foundation for the authority of the Bible. You'll discover the men God used to communicate His Word, the supernatural preservation of the Scriptures down through the centuries, and a new call to embrace its living truth. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a special announcement.
Hey, I have a special announcement for all our Pittsburgh area listeners. We'd love to have you join us at the Bible Chapel in the South Hills, 300 Gallery Drive in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross. Journey to the Cross is a walk-through reflection of our Lord's final hours, and this is a great event for adults and for children as well. Actually, it's a very hands-on experience. You can count the 30 coins, like those used to betray Jesus. You can also hold in your hands replicas of the nails used to pierce the Savior's hands. And for a unique experience, you'll be able to smell the incense used to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Join us at our South Hills campus, 300 Gallery Drive in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross, which runs from April 16th to April 18th. That's April 16th through the 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. And on Friday, Good Friday, April 19th, from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening. For more information, you can go to our website, BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. We hope to see you there. And as always, thank you for joining us on the journey.
And we also want you to have a copy of Ron's devotional, The Greatest Text Message, to help direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.